we cover serious news, and we also flag the cultural shifts that often fly under the radar. In today's package, Ken Macon looks at how a new Marvel superhero miniseries is firing up students to study science, technology, engineering, and math. The Ironheart series features a Black female tech whiz who invents an armored suit that, like that of Tony Stark in Iron Man, gives her special powers. It turns out that one of her powers is inspiring Black students to see themselves in STEM careers. If you can see it, you can be it, has been a rallying cry of directors and performers who often did not have role models growing up. Pop culture can reach and engage students everywhere and encourage them to dream. It's Wednesday, June 25th. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning. I'm April Austin. First, our curation of news briefs from staff writers and wire services. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs. Oil prices dropped and U.S. stocks neared their all-time high. Both moves came on hopes that Israel's war with Iran will not damage the global flow of crude. Oil prices fell 6% and are below where they were before the Israel-Iran conflict began. The S&P 500 rallied 1.1% Tuesday and got back within 0.8% of its record. The Dow Jones Industrial Average rose 1.2%, and the NASDAQ Composite jumped 1.4%. Ukraine and the United Kingdom will team up on drones. Volodymyr Zelensky and British Prime Minister Keir Starmer announced a 3-year co-production initiative during a visit by the Ukrainian president to London to discuss his country's defense against Russia. The agreement to share technology would boost Ukraine's drone production and link up Britain's defense industry with the technology being developed on the front lines in Ukraine, Mr. Starmer's office said in a statement. Also, airlines worked to reroute Mideast passengers. Qatar, Bahrain, and Kuwait closed their airspace late Monday after Iran's strike on a U.S. military base in Qatar's capital, Doha, forcing airlines to cancel or reroute hundreds of flights and creating a backlog of stranded passengers. The region's airports are some of the busiest in the world, serving as connecting hubs for some flights between Europe and Asia. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com for our latest news. In a case that reached it via the emergency docket and resulted in a decision that was short and unsigned, the Supreme Court has permitted the Trump administration to deport migrants to countries other than their own. Third country deportations are not new, and there are guidelines for their use. But the Trump administration has sought to expand them. And this decision opens the door to faster removals of people in the United States without authorization, a fact that raises concerns about notice and due process, and, critics charge, endorses the government's defiance of a federal court order. Henry Gass, Sarah Matusik, and Sophie Hills report for The Monitor. The conflict between Israel and Iran was marked by a noticeable absence. Iran's network of proxies, the militant groups it spent 2 decades building up across Yemen, Iraq, Lebanon, and the Levant. Regarded by Iran as an axis of resistance against Israeli and American influence, this alliance had long been called a deterrent to any military action against Tehran. That it remained on the sidelines, observers say, signals a changed regional geopolitical landscape and mounting domestic pressures of their own. These groups are placing their own survival above striking out and risking an American and Israeli response in defense of their patron. Taylor Luck reports from Amman, Jordan, for The Monitor. In France, criminals generally serve their sentences concurrently, not consecutively. That's making the victims of Joel Lesguanec, who committed hundreds of sexual assaults, unhappy with the outcome of his trial. And while that outcome is not a surprise to French lawyers, it is pitting victims groups looking for justice against the constraints of the French legal system, and stirring some legal experts to push for reforms to strengthen the punishment around particularly repugnant crimes. Colette Davidson reports from Paris for The Monitor. The United States' involvement in the Israel-Iran war, which continues despite talk of a ceasefire, has reignited an age-old clash between Congress and the presidency. Who has the power to launch a U.S. military offensive, if not outright war, against another country? Secrecy was needed to pull off the overnight U.S. attack on Iranian nuclear facilities last Saturday. But with the prospect of more war, including perhaps more retaliatory strikes on U.S. bases in the Middle East, debate rages over Congress's role as a co-equal branch of government. At a time of intense political polarization, most members fall along party lines. We look at what history shows. Linda Feldman and Caitlin Babcock report from Washington for The Monitor. The Marvel show Ironheart debuts this week on Disney Plus with action hero thrills and something else, a celebration of the sciences. The show centers around Riri Williams, a child prodigy who enrolls at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology at age 15 and draws the attention of Tony Stark, Iron Man, after she builds her own tech-enhanced suit. Our cultural commentator takes a step-back look at pop culture's big role in helping young people see new possibilities, and at how representation in science, technology, engineering, and math on screen is both viable and necessary. Ken Macon reports for The Monitor. Now commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on a civic awakening among young Kenyans. Kenya's youth leaders are urging fellow citizens to carry three items at planned June 25th demonstrations: flags to signify national unity, flowers to honor dozens of civilians killed during and since last June's surge of popular protests, and placards that demand political accountability and adherence to democratic norms. A 2024 government plan to impose taxes on a range of everyday items sparked what has become a year of dissent. As protests grew last June, security forces killed 60 civilians. Kenyan President William Ruto subsequently withdrew the finance bill and shuffled his cabinet. It was Kenya's most startling civic awakening in a generation, according to Edward Bury, a Presbyterian minister. Marking the 2025 anniversary of the Gen Z uprising calls this nation to account, he wrote in the Standard newspaper. Fed by frustration with official corruption and arrogance, the tax objections have morphed into broader pleas for honest, transparent, and responsive governance. These calls bridge ethnic divisions and tap into a deep yearning for individual and collective freedoms among youth activists in Kenya and beyond. Nigeria, Serbia, Mongolia, and Indonesia are other countries where youth are pushing a change agenda. Many of Kenya's 17 million Gen Zers are educated and entrepreneurial. 96% use mobile technology regularly, and 63% say they are very involved in politics and public affairs. Using social media and artificial intelligence, tech-savvy young adults are educating others about legislation and decentralizing dissidents. Simultaneously, they are facing increased arbitrary detentions, disappearance, and even killings. In late May, Rose Jiri was jailed for releasing software that enables citizens to reject the 2025 finance bill with the click of a button. She was freed after 3 days. Schoolteacher and blogger Albert Ojuang was not so fortunate. Arrested after alleging police corruption, he died in custody. The ensuing cover-up brought Kenyans into the streets again. In contrast to perceived government obduracy, cultural icons and religious leaders are speaking out. Kunshins, a popular Jamaican musician who often performs in Kenya, put up a post on his Instagram after police shot an unarmed street vendor, "Protect your people, not silence them." On Saturday, Christian and Muslim leaders gathered with protesters' families in Nairobi to pray for peace and for investigations into the 2024 killings. On Sunday, churches held interdenominational services. "We prayed together. We brought the families together to wipe their tears," said Canon Evans Omolo, ahead of this week's commemoration rallies. He said, "We want to tell the government and the security forces that Kenya is a constitutional democracy." For activist Hanifa Aden, writing in the Sunday Nation, such affirmation from respected institutions can carry life-saving moral weight. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how praying from the standpoint of divine love's all-inclusiveness can bring protection from violence. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Tim Malone, Jeff Turton, and Hannah Gucka.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, USA. Copyright 2025.